We're back here with Representative Amanda Price. Good morning, Amanda.
Morning, Duke. How are you today?
Very good.
Good.
Very good. All right. We're going to talk about some things going on in Lansing, and if anyone has questions for you, they can call us here at 395-1450. Our line is open right now. Let's talk about the Detroit settlement. That I'm kind of glad to see that. Detroit is has been a pretty important part of Michigan for many, many years. And
oh, true.
We got a few bad apples in there that almost upset the apple cart. But
yeah, and so it's one of those things. So I think I was angry for a long time, just like most folks are,
yeah,
about the situation in Detroit. And we don't hear as much news as folks on the east side of the state, but surely enough, we know that things were not right there. And so you have to really wonder why did the legislature and the governor want to do this? And so you think about it. First of all, the units of government, the cities and the township villages, are all subdivisions of the state of Michigan.
Yes.
So the state is on the hook for the decisions made at the local level, even though you elect local folks. If they're not doing well, the state has to step in. And so secondly, the bankruptcy judge in this case, we're finding out that bankruptcy judges have extraordinary amounts of power.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize he did. But in this case, this is something that the judge proposed, this settlement idea, and asked that the state come up with some money, the foundation community come up with some money, ultimately the Detroit Institute of Arts, and now even some of the unions are joining in and throwing some money into this settlement. And so the money that will be put into this will help the pensioners. And if we hadn't done something like that, they would have probably received maybe a 30% cut in their pension income. And most folks are at that $30,000, $20,000 or below level. We were very worried that taking such a cut to their pension income would actually put them into low income status, and we'd be picking up them as welfare,
yeah,
clients. So, and then if the settlement hadn't been agreed to, the state then would be liable for the ongoing bankruptcy lawsuits.
Yeah.
And so you look at the numbers, purely on the numbers alone, it makes a lot of sense for us to have engaged in this discussion. Just to give you some idea of the outstanding pension or obligations the state had, or excuse me, Detroit had, they had $6.7 billion in secured liabilities and $11.8 billion in unsecured liabilities. Oh, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
It right. is. The settlement that the judge has proposed and the community, the legislature has, and at least on the House side now,
yeah,
would reduce the unsecured liabilities from $11.8 billion down to $2.8 billion. So it's a 75% reduction in those liabilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, just so you understand the magnitude of where Detroit was in terms of their financial situation, then the House took testimony and put together a package of about 10 bills that puts financial oversight of the city in place for at least 13 years and actually has a mechanism where they will continue to be overseen for many, many years until they prove that they can balance budget,
right,
have revenue estimating that is realistic, be more open with what they're doing, and not some of the strange deals that they've put together in the,
yeah,
past.
It's unfortunate we can't go to Kwame Kilpatrick and say, pay up.
Yeah, and who, I just think, how did they, local governments are very regimented in, as to what they can invest in, and so how did this even...
How did they get that way?
How did they get there?
I don't know. We got a call. Good morning, online with our guest.
Yeah, good morning. I want to ask Amanda, was she in Mackinac City?
No, I was not.
You was not?
Nope.
And, how successful was that meeting, and what did it cost the taxpayers of Michigan?
The Mackinac Island Conference, you mean?
That's apparently what he has reference to.
That's a Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce meeting, and I don't believe it costs the taxpayers anything. The chamber usually supports a lot of that, and then they have corporate sponsors.
So they throw the party, so to speak.
They throw the party. They invite all the speakers, and folks have to pay for their residential or their housing on their own. So.
Okay. Well, if they say it's a grand hotel, then it is a little expensive.
It is. But they're, you know, it's pure Michigan. Mackinac Island is such a beautiful place.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I stayed one night at this grand hotel.
It's a treat.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. And, yeah, it's a nice place to have a meeting.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you don't have any automobiles running around or anything like
no,
that.
No, I have been on the island for another conference, and people who come from out of state are a little surprised by the horses, and
yeah.
you do have to plan around that.
But it's a great place to visit. Certainly.
It is. It's just
Indeed.
Beautiful.
All right.
So I just wanted to just share with you, too, the bills that are in place that the House has passed and now the Senate's taking up. It creates this financial review commission. There's a chief financial officer that's going to be appointed. They'll have to do four-year financial plan outs. They have to post all their contracts online, which, again, is kind of, you mean you don't do that already?
Right.
The employee health care will be, they'll have to contribute 20% to their health care. And then we're going to use about $194.8 million from our current rainy day budget stabilization fund, which we already have saved up that money, and that money will go for the pension obligations. And then we will repay that back, about $17.5 million every year from the tobacco settlement funds that the state
yeah,
has received.
Yeah. Okay. I tell you something. In 1967... I was the host for the Detroit's mayor, the city of Saugatuck, Detroit, and
wow.
Saugatuck swapped mayors,
wow.
and our mayor went to Detroit, and our mayor at that time was, I can't even think of his name, but we were, Jerry Cavanaugh was our guest
okay.
for a day in Saugatuck, so... And I was the host for him, too. That was kind of fun.
Well, and that was in Detroit's heyday, too.
Yes, it was.
It was
indeed.
Yeah.
All right. 395-1450 is our number if you'd like to talk to our representative here this morning. Let's talk a little bit about minimum wage. That was a big battle, wasn't it?
That was a big battle. And so folks should know that this is not something that the legislature just one day decided to up and do. There's been a group circulating petitions, something called the Raise Michigan Initiative, and they've been circulating petitions and gaining signatures. And so you should also know that these folks were an outside group outside of Michigan. They were getting paid to gather signatures, and they were going to raise the minimum wage to $10.10. The legislature acted last Tuesday to kind of circumvent that initiative, and so rather than go from where we are now, a $7.40 minimum wage up to $10.10, the compromise is that we would be at $9.25 in 2018, and the $10.10 initiative was going to take us to that amount in January of 2017.
Now, if those petitions go in, will that still be on the ballot?
That's a question. They did get filed the next day, so we took action last Tuesday. They filed the petitions last Wednesday, and there's some discussion right now as to whether or not they'll go forward, because what the legislature did was amend the state law that outlines the minimum wage.
Yes.
So if we've changed that law, those petitions would not any longer, they're moot almost.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on it.
Okay.
So we thought we came up with sort of a measured response to a possible devastating impact on our job and companies. So it's the maybe the best of the bad situation. I have one colleague who calls it, you either choose death or dismemberment, and I don't like either choice. It was very, it's a very difficult
it is.
Vote, and it was, there was the Citizens Initiative, then there's a Senate bill, and then there's a House version, and so they came to a compromise on that.
But it will be a gradual increase.
It isn't a gradual increase. So minimum wage will go to $8.15 in September of this year. There'll be no increase in 2015. In 2016, it'll go up to $8.50. In 2018, it'll go up to $9.25. And then there is some annual increases based on the Midwest Consumer Price Index. So it's not a Detroit-based consumer price index, but it's a Midwest average. And if the unemployment rate goes up to 8.5%, it's frozen, and it can never go up more than 3.5% per year. So there's, again, not a good situation overall, but I think we made lemonade out of...
out of lemons.
Of lemons, so...
All right, we're here with our representative, and if you have a question for her, you may call us at 395-1450. The line is open, and we're going to talk about the budget. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. Last few weeks, that's usually the topic of discussion at this time of year.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple of other big items on the agenda, so the budget's...
Let's take this call.
Sure.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, Mr. Price, I have a question for you. How do you feel about the prisoner that we got, our soldier that we got back to the trade for the terrorists, for the five that we released?
Well, you know, that's a federal issue, so I don't quite understand the law that is in place that the president is supposed to notify the Congress if they're going to do this, and so I'm just learning about it, so... I'm glad the prisoner's home.
Yeah.
I don't know the implications of the deal itself, so I'll have to look at it.
Just so that people understand, the five Taliban terrorists that we released for our for our one soldier, just to make a statement that you know how many of our soldiers died due to capture those five that our United States government released.
Yeah.
So it's a sad issue. This government, it cannot be trusted anymore, and it's not a country we recognize anymore. So
I think they were lucky to be in Gitmo because that's a pretty good place to stay.
Yeah. last I knew, we don't negotiate with terrorists unless they renounce. Their religion, and when they said no, well, we walked away from the table, and now we're trading with them.
Makes
no sense. So, all right, thank you.
The little bit I heard about that on the news or something yesterday was that the way around that was that they were dealing with Qatar instead of the Taliban itself,
and they're not supposed to travel from that spot for a year.
Somehow they got lost.
They got lost, right. All right, the budget.
Yeah, so we will be taking the budget up ahead of a revenue estimating conference a few weeks ago. Numbers didn't come out the way they had projected earlier in the year, so that means there's been a lot of more discussion between the committee chairs, and so we will be hearing more about that this week and into next week.
But you'll get it through by... Yep. In timely fashion.
Yes. Not the May 31st deadline we were hoping for, but very quickly here.
Well, the governor came up with that idea originally when he got into office, and it's a pretty good idea because all the schools are waiting to...
All the schools are waiting
to... Do their budget.
Yeah, you can make adjustments, and there was really no excuse for taking so long before.
Yeah. All right. A moment that for the weather here, hometown forecast brought to you by... Cooley Godfrey Investment Group. Call them at 616-931-1223. And our weather is going to be windy today with thunderstorms developing this afternoon, steady to slowly falling temperatures from the upper 70s. And for tonight, thunderstorms early on, Then some overnight clearing at a low of 61. Tomorrow, more sun than clouds and cooler and a high of 68. Right now, we're at 81 degrees. And it's already warm out there. Yes. Well, that's what we wanted. Hey.
Yeah.
The snow is melting. All right. Let's continue here with some more things. The road funding, that's big.
Right. So, you know, the House had a package of bills that we passed. It would increase funding for the roads about $450 million. And then the Senate also has a package of bills that would increase funding for roads at about $1.2 billion, from what I understand. We haven't seen those yet. So that'll be ongoing discussion. We have, over the last few years, put about $580 million from the general fund into road funding. But that's not necessarily sustainable. So we're needing to look at other ways to fund the roads. And after last winter, we're seeing a higher incidence of failure in some of our roadways. So hoping that a significant move forward is going to happen.
Yeah.
The House package really focused more on using existing resources and dedicating some revenue that's already in place to the roads, and the Senate has moved away from that. And
okay, got a call here. Yes, you're on the line with our guest.
Yes, Duke, I'm going to ask the representative the same question I asked the individual that wants to run for her seat, or the Democrat that was on your show last week, about the permanent trailer tracks that Granholm put in place that are destroying our roads because they don't replace how it's beat. I guess I would like to know what the representative's thoughts are on repealing that permanent trailer tag and putting it the way it was and put the revenue back. And I also want to know about the state authorized, I think, $6,000 tax credit or whatever for the purchase of electric cars and so on and so forth, and yet we sit and scream that we need to raise the gas tax. I guess I don't see anybody with a solid answer on either side of the fence, and I think common sense is falling to the wayside in the whole process. I think we need to come to one solution and just get to it.
That's the permanent trailer tags. My understanding, and maybe I'm wrong here, was that you would get a tag and you wouldn't have to go to the Secretary of State's every
right.
year. But I didn't think that there was... there might have been some revenue lost from that, but I thought that those would still have to be paid.
If a semi trailer look at the excavators running around with these double bottoms towing those dirt around. Look at the load factors on these trailers. Look at the load factors on the semi trailers on our highways, on our local roads, et cetera, et cetera. Every one of those trailers, if it's a trailer that attaches to a vehicle, is a permanent tag in the state of Michigan.
And do they pay one-time funding for that?
The same way if a person owns a travel trailer that they take up to, we'll just say, Ludington State Park to camp in, they buy a one-time tag for that trailer. It's called a permanent tag. On the vehicular part of whatever is towing the trailer, you don't have a one-time tag. And I couldn't understand how it could happen then. It was a quick scam by Governor Granholm. Everybody went along with it to raise a bunch of revenue that did absolutely no good. And again, let's look at the whole situation with Detroit. Okay, how many times do we have to pay for Detroit? If we look at the sales tax from the state that's been pied out to Detroit, well, the rest of the state suffered for many, 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 many years, and now we're going to go ahead and have the citizens that pay the tax dollars into the state send more money to Detroit instead of other places that could actually benefit from it instead of being corrupt?
Well, I will look into that. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. And again, I thought my understanding was that the revenue, you got a one-time tag, but there were ongoing revenue coming in.
And that's all right for the little guy that has two-wheel trailer. But when you're talking about some of these huge trucks that are traversing our roads,
right?
And just buy one tag, that's a pretty good break for them.
Right.
Okay. 395-1450, our talk of the town number, and our line is open, and we have a note here that can we talk about natural gas?
Sure.
All right.
So we've got a package of bills in the House that looks at natural gas, extending natural gas lines further into the more rural areas of the
mm-hmm.
state. Right now, if you want to extend natural gas, say, to a large farm or a small subdivision, usually the developer or the farmer would pay for that. This would take some of those costs and have it be paid for by the customers of that utility that's extending the natural gas lines. And so in big discussions about it right now, there's also some safety measures in that same package of bills to look at pipeline safety.
Yeah.
Because it's been ignored throughout the country, maybe not so much in Michigan, but the utilities have requirements for maintaining their pipelines well, too. So this is part of that package.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, Joe, in reference to these license plates on a trailer,
yeah,
one time for all, the guy better wake up. I'm an ex-owner operator. I'm retired. The trailers at that time were different, but when you pay $1 or a one-year trailer, it's good for life. The tractor is paying the other. Ask them what the tractor pays.
Yeah, yeah.
Those tractors pulling those trailers.
Yeah.
Is paying the fees. The trailer's not, no, but the trailer can't go no place without a tractor.
True.
The only people that are getting a break is the people with a car or a pickup or something pulling a travel trailer. Or a straight trailer.
Well, I'm going to ask Commander to look into it, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
395-1450. So the natural gas would be extended to some of the outlying areas that don't have it now that have to depend on the bottled gas.
And propane, and so that's, especially after this winter, there was a slight propane shortage
right.
in some areas of the country, and prices went up. Uncertain.
Yeah.
And propane. Now, propane really, it wasn't necessarily the winter and getting it there. There was a shortage of propane due to a really wet winter or fall crop for the farmers,
oh.
and they had to use that propane to dry it.
Yeah.
And
okay.
so, from what I understand, a lot of customers in Michigan didn't suffer too much with the shortage of propane, but we did have a shortage of natural gas.
Even, right.
So.
Good morning. You're on the line with Amanda. Good morning. You're online with Amanda.
Good morning. The last gentleman was asked for right, the semis, the power units are going to pay your excess taxes. Forest trailer plates go. That's just a gimme anymore with the permanent plating. But if you look around the area, the like the trailer rental companies and even the larger fleets in this area, you'll find that they don't have Michigan plates on them, but they have Maine or Tennessee, other states that also do permanent plating. Texas is another one. So the one guy that's all up in arms about the trailers being permanent plated, that's just a part of life around here in America. We either, state of Michigan either gets the $300 for it, or Texas, Maine, Tennessee, whatever, they're going to get it, and Michigan's going to miss out on that revenue completely.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Good morning. Online with our guest.
Yes. She mentioned checking into the pipelines.
Yes.
Well, I don't know, perhaps one of the things she might want to look into, I don't know how much oil is being transported by rail here in the state of Michigan. But the thing is, they were talking about the pipeline coming down from Canada and everything like that, and perhaps that's more of a federal issue. But the actual fact is probably the same amount of oil has been spilled by tankers on rail as has been spilled by pipelines all across the country. And yet the pipelines carry 25 times as much oil as the rails do. And the rail cars are going through populated portions of cities,
yeah.
everything like that. They're more of a danger than any pipeline. So maybe she wants to look into that here, at least in the state of Michigan, and then perhaps pass some stuff along to our federal representatives as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we got another call. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Oh, good morning, Amanda.
Yeah.
Did I understand you correctly that you said that people that don't currently have natural gas, and if they want it, of course they pay for it, because I remember living on the south side of Holland, and I had that happen. I took a petition around, and we all paid for it to be extended. Now, are you saying that those costs are going to be passed on to all the current users, like ourselves?
That's what the package of legislation is intending to do. And it wouldn't go, you know, universally across the state. The Public Service Commission would look at the requests and the needs and where they could do it efficiently and effectively.
And we're out of time.
Oh, and so it would raise our gas rate.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being our guest this morning.
You're
here on Talk the Town.